from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Tuesday, March 17th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. The National Weather Service has confirmed an EF0 tornado occurred in Charlotte Monday morning. According to NWS officials, the tornado made a brief touchdown with wind gusting up to 85 miles an hour, which caused damage to a building on Atondo Avenue. According to Weather Service spokesperson Thomas Winesett, the damage on the building was a clear indicator of the tornado's strength.
When we see this kind of loss of roofing material, it wasn't the entire roof peeled back, but it was just portions of it. So that indicates a fairly weaker tornado. So if more portions of the roofing material was removed, or if we saw additional structural damage, that would lead to a higher rating. But given the degree of damage, it was on the lower end. So that led to the EF0 85 mile per hour rating.
No injuries have been reported related to the tornado. About 1,100 customers in Mecklenburg County remain without power this morning. Most of those are in Matthews along South Boulevard and around Robinson Church Road in Northeast Charlotte. After hundreds of flights were delayed and canceled at Charlotte Douglas Airport Monday during the heavy rain and high winds, things are getting back to normal today. So far this morning, 27 flights are delayed, 33 more canceled. The Federal Aviation Administration ordered two separate ground stops at CLT Monday during the storm. A data center developer is considering a site near Sanford in Lee County and might even pursue fracking to fuel the facility, a first for North Carolina. On Monday night, Lee County citizens pushed for a data center moratorium. Zachary Turner has more from a raucous hearing.
A crowd of concerned citizens wearing anti-fracking buttons packed Sanford's McSwain Center. Brooks Rainey from the Southern Environmental Law Center told the commission that a moratorium would give the county time to update local ordinances and zoning to regulate data centers. County Commission Chair Kirk Smith did not question Rainey on the moratorium proposal. Instead, he asked about her personal beliefs on climate change.
Do you believe humans are the cause of global warming? Excuse me, I'm sorry. We are hosting this.
I don't think my personal beliefs are relevant at all to this commission meeting.
How about?
Rainey said afterward that she found Smith's questions inappropriate. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
A new report released Monday by Mecklenburg County highlights alarming disparities tied to infant mortality rates. Elvis Meneyese has more.
The report spans from 2014 to 2023. It shows Black infants are over 3.5 times more likely to die before the age of one than non-Hispanic white babies. Dr. Kimberly Scott is the county's interim public health director.
So disparities can be influenced by so many things, from maternal health conditions, things like high blood pressure, socioeconomic conditions, things like access to prenatal care.
About 80 infants are also dying yearly in the county, with the leading causes tied to birth defects like brain malformations and prenatal problems.
So babies who are born before that 37-week mark, low birth weight, so babies that are born under roughly 5 pounds, 8 ounces, and then just other complications during delivery.
The report also highlighted that Black babies are 4 times as likely to be born very low birth weight. Elvis Meneyese, WFAE News.
North Carolina Governor Josh Stein stopped in Charlotte Monday to celebrate the opening of Citigroup's Charlotte office. Stein joined company leaders in cutting the ribbon on the new office space in Ballantyne, where the financial services company plans to hire more than 500 new workers.
This creates hundreds of new opportunities for the talented people of North Carolina to thrive. And it's another sign that Charlotte continues to grow as this country's second largest financial center in the entire United States.
At Monday's opening, Citigroup also announced a $50,000 gift to Nourish Up, which operates a local network of food pantries and runs the county's Meals on Wheels program. The Charlotte Hornets start their longest homestand of the season tonight when they take on the Miami Heat. It's the first of 7 straight at Spectrum Center. The Hornets are currently 10th in the NBA's Eastern Conference. That's the final spot for the league's play-in tournament. There are 14 games left in the regular season. Coach Charles Lee says his team needs to take advantage of the friendly home environment.
Our fans are amazing, and I think that we will feed off of that, but we also have to make sure that we bring a level of focus and readiness on this homestand and play a lot of really good competition. And sometimes you can be too comfortable being home for that many days. And so the road, I think, at times makes you uncomfortable, makes you hungry, and we have to have that same hunger at home.
Tip-off against the Heat is tonight at 7. Since 2021, college athletes have been able to cash in on their brand with so-called name, image, and likeness deals, known as NIL. Since last year, high schoolers in North Carolina can do the same. James Farrell spoke to some families about how the potential for money is changing the game.
In the historic Second Ward High School gymnasium in Uptown, middle and high school students from North and South Carolina showed off in a series of games that pitted the two states against each other. It was part of the Wisdom Foundation's second annual Business of Basketball. But those who were invited to play also got expert financial advice on something that's game-changing for student athletes across the country, the opportunity to cash in. It's been 5 years since college athletes nationwide were allowed to start signing so-called NIL deals, and in the years that have followed, many states have expanded that to high school athletes as well. North Carolina started last year.
I think that's what NIL is doing. It's allowing you to put value on yourself and, put yourself in a better situation because of the work that you've put in.
That's Jim Gatehouse, a senior at South Mecklenburg High School. He doesn't have an NIL deal yet, and he said it's not something he's thinking about when he's out on the court. But he and other athletes at the event said it's hard to ignore the possibility.
Especially going into college, it definitely becomes more, it just stands out more because it's more of a possibility, right? Not a lot of kids in North Carolina get a real NIL deal where they're getting paid or something, but as you get into college, it becomes a lot more prevalent.
Last school year, only 12 North Carolina high school students took advantage of the newfound ability to sign NIL deals. Most of those were for modest amounts, around $10,000, or simply the monetary value of the item the athlete was endorsing. But one student, believed to be a quarterback out of Greensboro, signed a deal north of $1 million. Last week's event shows how the potential for money is changing the conversation in high school sports.
You know, right now we're seeing kids, you know, getting six-figure deals in ninth, 10th grade. And if you really don't want to get the bad end of a deal or sign something that you might come and bite you, you might want to start looking, understanding contracts and really getting somebody to understand contracts.
That's Marvin Wilson, founder of the Wisdom Foundation. He said he wanted to host the event so kids could pursue these new, potentially life-changing opportunities in a responsible way.
Now it's the Wild Wild West, so I want to make sure I stand in the gap and make sure they're understanding what they're getting themselves into. Because money is money, but accountability and management comes with money.
Those who spoke to WFAE last week had few misgivings about the possibility of NIL deals. Mostly, they saw it as a new and exciting opportunity for young people. Sitting at the top of the bleachers, Kevin Concepcion Sr. said he'd seen the benefits firsthand. His oldest son, KC Concepcion, is a wide receiver at Texas A&M, who's expected to make a splash in the NFL draft. He worked with an agency last year to navigate NIL deals. Kevin says he hopes his 14-year-old basketball player, Lloyd Concepcion, will now get similar chances in high school.
It kind of changes the game for a lot of the youth growing up now, because when I was growing up, and even when I played college ball, NIL was unheard of.
Some parents said that NIL deals were exciting opportunities as long as the focus remained on academics and responsibility. Juanita Estwick isn't worried about her son, Wilson, a senior at North Mecklenburg High School, who she describes as a scholar first and foremost.
At the end of the day, all these bigger schools, especially at the G1 level, are making so much money from these athletes. This is a great opportunity for them to put some of that money in their pockets, like I said, to invest, to change the trajectory of their lives, to help their loved ones, and to give back to the community.
But while NIL deals continue to be attractive at the college level, athletes told WFAE the expansion to high school hasn't changed their day-to-day mindset all that much. At least not yet. Here's James Wood, a senior at Carmel Christian School.
There are a lot of brands on Instagram, like growing brands, trying to grow NIL, looking to get high school athletes. So it's definitely a thought. And it does make you think like how to navigate it, but I think it's not too big yet for a lot of kids in high school, so it's not too much to think about.
And even if there are questions about how to navigate these deals, it's a puzzle that many high school athletes would love to have the opportunity to solve.
10 seconds on the clock, we're in countdown mode. 9, 8, 7, 6.
James Farrell, WFAE News.
And for Tuesday, March 17th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.